Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice, recording at our studio in East County. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Patrick Sullivan, who was an anesthesiologist at Grossmont Hospital, Sharp Grossmont Hospital in La Mesa, for over 25 years. He's the former head of anesthesiology there, and now he is suing the hospital, alleging that he was harassed into resigning after blowing the whistle when he found secret videotaping of female patients in the operating room. Patrick, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Let's start, if you could, by just tell us a little bit about your own background as an anesthesiologist. I understand that you had trained at some very prestigious institutions.
Yeah, well, I started out, I got my undergraduate degree from the University of Wisconsin in Madison, Wisconsin, and then I went from there to the Medical College of Wisconsin, where I got my MD degree. That was in Milwaukee. It was formerly the Marquette University School of Medicine. Then I did my year of internship in Denver, Colorado, at Presbyterian St. Luke's Medical Center, and from there...
You had clerkships at Harvard and the Mayo Clinic, some really prestigious
places. My senior year of medical school, I did many away rotations. I did about 3 months at the Massachusetts General Hospital with Harvard Medical School. I did a month at the Mayo Clinic. I really enjoyed my time there.
And then you came here and you did residency training at the University of California, San Diego, UCSD, before joining Sharp Grossmont Hospital.
Correct.
So, you were there for a lot of years. Obviously, you had a very good reputation as somebody who headed up anesthesiology at one point. And then you made this startling discovery. Tell us how and when you found out that there were cameras in the operating room.
Well, one night I was doing a C-section, and it was kind of a long one, and I just was sitting there. The patient was stable, and I was sitting there, and I noticed that the HP emblem, the round HP emblem on the top of the rim of the computer monitor, had been replaced with a small hole that looked like a lens. And I took a look at it, and I said, this has got to be a microphone or a camera or something, but I couldn't imagine that they would be doing that. Then later on, I went into the other two operating rooms and found, in the women's center, and found similar cameras there.
So what did you do?
Well, I believe it was the next day, I ran into the women's center director in the hallway, and I said, by the way, you don't have cameras in the rims of our anesthesia computer monitors, do you? And she, I think, said, I'm not at liberty to discuss any of that, and that was that.
And this is a really serious issue, because we're talking about privacy violations of, I don't know how many women, hundreds, thousands, that were videotaped without their consent. In many cases, these, you know, without their clothes on, really the most intimate kind of photographs that you can have, and these were reviewed by hospital security. Ostensibly, the hospital was trying to prove that a doctor, an anesthesiologist, not you, but a different one on staff, was suspected of stealing drugs, according to the hospital. And so they felt that was justification to compromise the privacy of these many, many women, not only security personnel, but in some cases, state regulators saw these tapes, and even some of them were mistakenly disclosed to the attorney of that doctor, who also later filed suit against them. So when you tried to complain about this and you went up to the ladder, what happened?
Well, nothing. However, once we realized these actually were cameras, I mean, I think it took us, you know, a week or two to figure out that they were, we would try to protect our patients by putting a piece of tape over the lens every time we would do a case there, so that it couldn't film them. But by the time we discovered the cameras, they had already been there 9 or 10 months. We know that now in retrospect. At the time, we didn't know how long they had been there, but they had actually been there 9 to 10 months. And it's just not something you look for. When you're there and you've got multiple monitors mm-hmm. to look at while you're taking care of a patient, you know, you're focusing on the screen, and you don't
yeah.
notice that a little round HP emblem was replaced with a hole with
so
a lens.
This sparked outrage in the community, of course, when this came out, and I understand that there's been at least one, you were telling me today, two class action lawsuits now, is that right, that have been filed by women over this, over the violation of privacy.
Yeah, there are two. One was filed last May. The other was filed this past January, last month. They allege numerous violations of patient privacy by Sharp, breach of patient confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the complaint, they even accuse Sharp of distribution of pornography.
Wow. Yeah, so those are really serious allegations. Now, at some point, they finally took the cameras out of the hospital or out of the operating rooms.
Well, it was pointless to keep them there because we discovered them, I believe, in March of 2013, and by the time the summer rolled around, every anesthesiologist was putting tape over them, so mm-hmm. it was not a secret anymore. That was in the summer of 2013.
And then you thought they were gone. Maybe they were, and then...
No, they were gone. I mean, at least from that location, they were gone. Mm-hmm. They were not in the rims of computer monitors until I saw them again in January of 2016.
Yeah, so tell us about that. You must have been really surprised to see computers that appeared to have cameras in them again.
Well, I was, and so I told the chief of staff, Dr. Orr, that if they were videotaping people, that they shouldn't be doing that. And I had also heard in a meeting that I attended that they planned on putting cameras in the new Heart and Vascular Center that is
really?
Being was built there, and is, if it hasn't opened yet, it's close to opening, and that's wrong and that shouldn't be done.
Yeah, it seems like at least the patients should be.
He said he would look into it and never got back to me.
So, to backtrack for a moment, I do want to add that when the news about these cameras first came out, and these, you know, even before the suits got filed, Sharp Grossmont did apologize for inadvertently turning videos over. And as we say, they took the cameras out at least for a while. Now, in response to your claims that you found new cameras again, the hospital came out about the 2016 allegations, and they're denying that part of it. They are saying that they had purchased laptop computers that came with cameras installed, but that they never activated the software in those cameras. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't have any proof that they were rolling.
Were they laptop computers?
No, they were not laptop computers, and that's one of the things that Sharp has claimed since this lawsuit came out, is that they were in laptop computers, and everybody knows that laptop computers have a camera in the rim. We were never going to use them, so what's the big deal?
Interesting. But, so they really haven't addressed the allegation that they had them in desktop computers.
They were not in laptop computers. I don't know how Sharp can say that. They were clearly in desktop computer rims. And if you walk through Sharp Grossmont Hospital, you will find lots of other desktop computer rims that do not have cameras, except in the operating rooms.
Okay, so a little bit more background on this, listeners. The reason, you may be wondering why the hospital would put these cameras in there to begin with, the reason why they ostensibly did this was because they said they were tipped off that a doctor was stealing drugs, which of course could be a very serious allegation if that was true. And the doctor that they accused of this, a fellow named Dr. Adam Doran, there was a complaint filed, but it was eventually dropped. In other words, no wrongdoing against him was found by the state of California. And that's largely because other doctors came forward to explain the circumstances. None of these drugs went out of the hospital. There was no evidence that he was using these. Dr. Sullivan, can you tell us what was going on with these drugs? Why would a doctor, an anesthesiologist, be pocketing drugs at the hospital?
Because there was a national propofol shortage. And Grossmont Hospital could not procure enough propofol to properly stock all the anesthesia carts. So when anesthesiologists would run out of it in the main operating room and other areas of the hospital, they would come to the women's center, which oftentimes was the only repository of propofol in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of anesthesiologists were doing it.
They were basically stashing it away for use later when they would have an emergency.
Or taking it for immediate patient use. I mean, there were times when I would be in the main OR and the patient would literally be on the table and there was no propofol in the cart to put the patient to sleep.
Wow. Shocking. So Dr. Doran, I understand, some of those videos showed him, you know, not only taking drugs and putting them in his pocket, but also taking them out of his pocket and putting them back on anesthesia carts and other parts of the hospital.
Well, that's exactly right. Sharp was very forthcoming with the videos that showed him taking the propofol, but they also had videos of him putting the propofol back, but yet continued to prosecute him as an alleged propofol thief for 3.5 years, making his life, you know, a living hell.
I'm wondering if all the doctors were doing this, or multiples, why he was singled out. I've heard that he had been a whistleblower at one point himself prior to that.
Well, I know that in the spring of 2013, he did report some violations in the Grossmont Hospital Women's Center to the Joint Commission.
Do we know how that was resolved? Was it found that his complaints were valid, do we know, or not?
I can't remember exactly. I know that, you know, the hospital usually doesn't share stuff like that with the results of an inspection necessarily with the entire hospital staff.
Okay. So we don't know the outcome, but we do know that he had filed a complaint, and I know that he has claimed that he thought he was maybe retaliated against. Whether that's true or not, we don't know.
Right. And another thing is that he was also the medical director at the Sharp Grossmont Surgery Center, which is right down the hill.
Yeah.
Perhaps there was some retaliation from his years as in that position as well.
Now, you have alleged other problems besides the cameras. Tell us what else you complained about that you felt was putting patients in jeopardy at the hospital.
Well, the lack of stocking of emergency drugs, the lack of stocking of our anesthesia epidural carts, but the main dangers to patient safety occurred with the severe understaffing that was occurring in the women's center during my last couple years there particularly.
Now, that overlapped with the nurses' strike, the nurses' walkout, did it not? Where they were alleging essentially the same thing. They were saying the hospital wasn't paying enough to retain quality nurses and that therefore they were going to competitive facilities and that there was a shortage. Was that essentially your observation or the same kind of thing that you were concerned about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We had something like 21 experienced nurses leave Grossmont Hospital Women's Center Labor and Delivery for other hospitals, and that not only does that leave you short-staffed, but it also leaves an experience deficit, because what they would do is they'd bring in new grads, and these new grads right out of nursing school were mm-hmm. perky and full of energy and hard-working, but there is no substitute for experience.
Yeah.
When you have a bad fetal strip or you're questioning whether a fetal heart rate is bad at 2 a.m, there's no substitute for experience. And this isn't news. I mean, nurses were on, hundreds of them were on bridges and in the streets with signs saying,
yeah,
this is the real Sharp experience, no more than a couple months ago.
Yeah. And I do want to interject here. Sharp is not here. We have asked them for comment on this. We certainly invite them. If they're willing to come on the show, we'll give them equal time. I don't want to make it sound like the hospital is all bad. In fact, just within the last month, they did win an award as one of America's best hospitals for heart care by the Women's Choice Award. They're in the top 9% of hospitals for healthcare services, according to that. They've certainly won others, magnet-designated hospital, among other things. But that said, these are certainly very serious allegations. So as of when you left, had any of these situations improved?
Not at the time I left.
And that was when?
That was on January 15th, 2016.
Now let's talk about what led up to you finally leaving. The hospital has you know, in their response to this suit, one of their things they're saying is that you left voluntarily, that you were not pressured to leave, but you've said that you were. Can you explain?
They made it very uncomfortable to work there by spreading rumors that I was rough with patients and that I was mean to the nurses and that I pushed the nurses too hard, when in reality all I was doing was trying to make the Women's Center a better place and have them adhere to the dictates of the OBGYN Supervisory Committee, which dictates the care in the Women's Center.
Had they pressured you about any of this stuff before you became this whistleblower talking about these cameras?
No, I was very, very much in tune with everybody there for most of my time there. It was like a second family, Miriam.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, I didn't even mind taking Thanksgiving call there. I would take every Thanksgiving because it was like being there with family.
Yeah.
And that all changed.
So very dedicated doctor, it sounds mm-hmm. like. So you've told us that they also started stripping you off of some of the key committees that you were on.
Yeah, that was one of the last straws, because when you go to the anesthesia I was a member of the Anesthesia Supervisory Committee since 1994, and the anesthesia representative to the Women's Center and member of the OBGYN Supervisory Committee since 1997. And those are the committees where you bring issues that need to be fixed. It's where policies and decisions are made about these things. And so mm-hmm. if you take me off those committees, you're effectively silencing me.
What reason did they give for removing you off the committees?
They told me that Chief of Staff told me that we have a new CEO that is reaching out to the medical staff, and we want doctors on these committees who are more collegial and less confrontational.
Do you believe that this was really about trying to pressure you into just resigning so that they would be getting rid of a whistleblower?
Oh, absolutely. Because when you make complaints or suggestions or processes for improvement, you suggest process improvement items, and those things aren't fixed, was to silence me.
So in your lawsuit, obviously, you know, you're asking, I'm sure, for money, for damages, for what's happened to you. Have you been able to find other work since you left the hospital?
Well, just some sporadic work at an outpatient surgery center, nothing even close to the full-time work that I had enjoyed at Grossmont Hospital.
If you prevail in your lawsuit, what do you hope will come out of it? What do you hope to achieve?
Well, I hope that the hospital learns that you can't treat their doctors and nurses this way, that you cannot silence health professionals who are bringing up patient safety issues. My primary motivation for this lawsuit is for the people of East County and the patients of East County who deserve better care than they're getting. And it's also for the nurses, doctors, and techs who are still working in that toxic culture that still exists there. In other words, I want justice. I mean, we don't have any proof that the cameras were rolling in 2016, but the analogy I would give you, Miriam, mm-hmm. is say somebody breaks into your garage and steals your car, mm-hmm. and the police catch him, he admits to doing it, he does his time, and then 3 years later, you find the same guy standing outside your garage with a crowbar in one hand at 3 a.m. and a ski mask on, and he says, I wasn't going to break into your garage. Do you believe him?
Good point. So as part of your lawsuit, are you able through discovery process to ask for any videotapes, to get any documentation to find out whether or not the videotaping is still going on or was going on when you noticed cameras the second time around in January of 2016?
My understanding is that we are going to ask the judge to allow us to do exactly that, to do forensic examination of some of these monitors and computers to see if that was indeed occurring.
Okay, thank you. I'll let you have the last word here today, Dr. Sullivan. What else would you like to say to our listeners here, many of whom may have been patients at one time at Sharp Grossmont Hospital?
What I'm trying to get with this lawsuit is justice, and to the many East County patients and families that I've gotten to know time and time again over the years, because, Miriam, many of them would come in for subsequent births, and you'd get to see the kids grow up, and it was just a wonderful thing. To them, I would say there are very, very many excellent nurses and doctors that are still at Grossmont Hospital, and that your experience and these experiences that you see where people have wonderful outcomes, they're still happening, but they're happening because of the individual efforts of the doctors, nurses, and techs that are still working there, overcoming these obstacles and overcoming this toxic environment that exists there.
Okay. We've been speaking with Dr. Patrick Sullivan, longtime anesthesiologist and former head of anesthesiology, about his lawsuit against Sharp Grossmont Hospital here in La Mesa. Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show, Dr. Sullivan, and speaking out on these very important issues, and we'll be staying on top of it, and listeners will certainly be providing you updates as the case works its way through the court and we hear more. And if we do hear back from the hospital, then we'll certainly be presenting more of their side of the story. Well, we want to thank you very much, Dr. Sullivan, for taking the time to come on our show today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you, Miriam.